Isaiah chapter 61, we're going to read the first three verses. In verse 1 it says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison of them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you again for your word, and we thank you for the truths it gives and the comfort that it gives in times of sorrow. And we just pray you bless, Lord, as we look in your word this day, as we use it, or as you use it, Lord, to show us our hearts, Lord, and that we might seek you for the healing and transformation of our hearts that we need. We just pray your blessing on us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. And as we've been looking at over the last several weeks, we often have heart issues in our lives that we need to recognize, and we need to confront and seek help for. And of course, we're not speaking in terms of our physical heart. We're rather speaking of really the center of our soul, kind of our emotions, our emotional heart, our spiritual heart. And what our heart situation with our heart, that affects a great deal of our lives. And that's why we're to keep our hearts, for out of our hearts are the issues of life. And so we've looked at different areas, different heart issues that we can have, and that can crop up from time to time as we don't necessarily respond to issues and troubles the right way, or we don't respond to God in the way that we should. And so we've looked at the idea of having a hardened heart, and how we need to not resist God, but instead be tender towards Him. We've looked at the thought of being half-hearted, of just not giving God really the effort and the desire and the devotion that we should, and learning instead to become wholehearted. We've considered that we often have a wandering heart, and that we need the Lord's help in that. And it's as we seek His Word, as we meditate upon it, as we get it within our hearts, then that helps us to not wander from Him. And last week we looked at the idea of having a fearful heart, of how there's times where situations happen or we hear different news and our hearts melt, and we just don't know what's going to happen. But instead we need to learn to have faith in God, to trust Him, and to bring those thoughts of fear into captivity, and instead step forward in faith, knowing that He's not going to leave us or forsake us. But today we want to consider another area, and this can affect all of us at different times. And sometimes it can be something where we look back and we realize this was an issue that never really got dealt with and never really got healed. And that's the thought of having a broken heart. And when we try to understand what that means, the Bible speaks of being brokenhearted in a lot of different places. But it's interesting, just kind of the fullness of the meaning of the word. It has the idea of it of being rent apart violently, of being shattered, of being wrecked or quenched or crushed. And I think for all of us, we've maybe seen someone that has been brokenhearted. And we can really notice it when we see a change in their life, where before they might have been happy, they might have had a lot of enthusiasm and kind of joy for life, But then something happens, and we see that that's gone. It's almost like this cloud has gone over their countenance, that they're sorrowful, that things do not have the same joy that it once brought to them, that they seem to have lost kind of their hope and any enthusiasm that they have. And for some people that we recognize that when they have a broken heart, they may show it by tears and by crying and other things. Others may try to hide it, though, that their heart's broken, but they hide it by being angry and lashing out at anyone that has hurt them. Or some, they might try to hide their brokenness by humor. They try to make jokes, they try to laugh it off, but that humor is hiding a lot of hurts on the inside. But then some, of course, they try to drown their sorrows in drink and in other destructive coping mechanisms that we often choose. And so we realize there's a lot of people in this world that are brokenhearted. There are many lost people that are brokenhearted, and I think there's many saved people that are brokenhearted too. But we ask, well, what causes someone's heart to be broken? We see in Proverbs 15 and verse 13, it says, "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine." We recognize that when a person has a good heart attitude, it can help them to heal faster and just have a better overall experience when they're sick or they're down. But then the other part of that verse is, "But by sorrow of heart the spirit is broken." And so when a person has a broken heart, it's because of sorrow within their spirit, that something has happened that has greatly saddened them and caused them to grieve. And so recognizing that, we would recognize that it is sorrow in this world that brings people to the place of having a broken heart. And we recognize, first of all, that there is a great sorrow within this world, because we are a world that is groaning under the curse of sin and the reign of the devil. And you think about it, there was a time on this earth where there was no sorrow. Before the fall came, that Adam and Eve were in the garden enjoying fellowship with God and enjoying the abundance that He had blessed them with. There wasn't death at that time, there wasn't pain, there wasn't sorrow. But then when sin came into the world, then all that flooded in as well. And we read in Revelation, and we look forward to the day where it talks about that when there's a new heaven and a new earth, that there's not going to be any more sorrow or pain, that the Lord's going to wipe away all tears. But we realize that that's going to be in the future when the Lord sets everything right. But from the fall to that future point, that this is a world that is filled with sorrow and pain and tears. That there is a curse upon this world because of sin, and it affects all of us, and it brings us to sorrow. And we think of that when sin came in the world, so did death come into this world, as it says in Romans 5 and verse 12. And death separates us from people that we love. People that have been part of our life, that we greatly have enjoyed their company and their guidance and the friendship that we've had with them. But then when they pass from this life, that it brings us to sorrow. And even though as Christians we don't sorrow as them that have no hope, we know that one day we will be reunited. But that time of separation is always difficult. That we can't enjoy their presence, we can't laugh with people anymore. And a lot of times it can happen so suddenly that we don't have any time to prepare. And in those times, sorrow entirely overwhelms us. And we can cry so much that we can't cry anymore and we don't know what to do. But as well, we realize that behind it all, that there is sorrow in this world because of sin. Because we realize if we all followed God's will, if everyone obeyed God's word and loved their neighbor as themselves, what a wonderful world we would have. There would not be as much sorrow and pain and tears. But the fact is, in so many ways and in so many times, we as humans, we rebel against what God has said. We become self-focused and self-seeking, and we act without thought or concern, or sometimes we act with complete cruelty and malevolence to one another, and we hurt each other deeply. That some of the pain and that causes sorrow and causes a brokenness of heart can be by simple acts of thoughtlessness, where someone should have had some care and concern and didn't. But often it progresses to acts of cruelty and malevolence and barbarity, where people purposefully inflict pain and trauma and abuse on individuals by their words and by their actions. And we can see that in this world today as we look at the news and we see sometimes the brutal crimes that have been committed, or we think of reports in other countries of people that have committed brutality and atrocities against someone else, that it is shocking. But we realize that it has all come because of sin, and as we give in to sin and let sin bind us and drive us in certain patterns of behavior. And we recognize that so often in this world, really a chain of pain begins to form, that someone is hurt by someone else, and so they seek to lash out in vengeance against the person that hurt them, but often they end up, that person may not be possible to attack them, and so they might direct their rage against someone else. And so a lot of times what happens is as one person is hurt, then they end up hurting someone else, and it just keeps progressing and getting worse. And so it is often that it's when others hurt us that our hearts get broken. When people mistreat us, people that we trusted betrayed us, people that we thought were on our side end up abandoning us. Those that should be ones that would protect us end up inflicting harm upon us. And so there is a brokenness that comes from sorrow, but also very much from sin and acts of cruelty, acts of selfishness and hate. And yet we realize too that when our hearts are broken for sin, sometimes the hurt that we feel is self-inflicted. Because many times if we're pursuing after sin, we end up suffering the consequences for our sins. And those consequences can be devastating and far-reaching. And we sometimes thought, well, nobody's going to find out. This isn't going to hurt anybody. But it ends up hurting many people. And once it gets started, we don't realize how much harm it can cause. And we try to fix it, but we can't. And so sometimes we have a brokenness because of other sins towards us, but sometimes we come to a point of brokenness over our own sin, of the things that we have done. But when we think of this world that is full of sadness, that is full of sorrow, that's full of sin, and full of suffering, who would we recognize to be behind all of this? We would recognize it to be the devil. That Satan is a god of this world, that he hates humanity simply because we're made in the image of God. That God has a plan and a purpose for each person that's born on this earth. And God has good thoughts towards them and wants to bring them to himself, to have a relationship with him and to serve him and honor him by their lives. But the devil wants to do everything he can to thwart God's purposes. And so he is intent on destroying each of us if he can. And in that whole process, we recognize that Satan will often do everything he can to hurt us deeply. in one way or another. He's working, of course, to deceive and provoke individuals to do actions that they might even think are good at the time, to hurt as many people as possible. That he sees that God's desire for people and His love for them, and He wants really to turn as many people as he can against God. That so often what happens is Satan inflicts a great evil that ends up hurting a lot of people, but then he wants to deceive them into thinking, well, God did this to you. That this is God's fault when it was his actions. And so he wants to turn as many people as he can away from God, even though he's the cause of the hurt. And so he does that in the hopes that people will turn their backs on God and never come to the saving knowledge of him. But for us who have trusted in Christ as Savior and who are seeking to serve him, that we recognize he hates us all the more. And even more is he seeking to target us in the hopes that at some point we will suffer a hurt so great and so deep, and we will become so brokenhearted that we will be out of service for God. He wants to leave us in a state where we're emotionally wounded, where just anything that happens just kind of makes us think again of the hurt that has been perpetrated upon us. He wants us to be overcome by bitterness, where someone has done something wrong and we are so angry at them that we never let it go, we never forgive them, and it just eats us up inside. He wants us to get to a point where we're afraid to love, where we're afraid to reach out anymore, because we think, well, I don't want anyone to hurt me anymore, I don't want to put myself in danger, and so I'm going to withdraw, I'm going to isolate myself so I will be safe from that. And he wants us to become so broken hearted that it's like we've died on the inside and we've just given up on life. And we may even be tempted to end it all because we see no hope. We hurt so much on the inside. And in such a situation, some would ask, well, when he does this, why doesn't God prevent the situation which caused our brokenness to occur? But we realize that if any of us as parents recognize too, that if a parent's always shielding his children from the consequences of their actions, their children will never learn. That man chooses to sin, and he continues to choose to sin, and it always has a terrible fallout that and so God allows that fallout to occur and to persist in all its brutality so that it'll bear full witness to the evil that the devil is seeking to do amongst us. And it should turn us to him to realize this is what the devil is seeking to perpetrate in our world, in our society, and we should dedicate ourselves all the more to joining God in fighting against the devil's purposes and seeking to thwart his desire, and instead seek to fulfill God's purposes and overcome what the devil is doing. And so, when we recognize all of this, we want to really get a full perspective of God's concern for us, because he knows when our hearts have been broken, and he is not indifferent to it. He wants to help, but just he is the great physician, that if our hearts are broken, he wants to heal them, and we need to go to him for that. And so we want to, if you turn with me to Psalm chapter 34, in verse 18 we read that the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. That when our hearts have been broken, God is not uncaring. He's not a God that's far away. He's not a God that is indifferent. He is near. That he it's like he's ready to assist the person that's brokenhearted. He wants to draw them close to himself, embrace them, and comfort them. We know from the scriptures that God is one who knows our sorrows. Exodus chapter 3, we see what he says to Moses when he's calling him to bring his, lead his people out of Egypt. He says, Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of the taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. That he knew what they were struggling with, that their cry came up to his ears and he was going to do something about it. And that's, we see in verse 8, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, to bring them up out of the land into a good land and large, into a land flowing with milk and honey. And so he was going to deliver them. He saw their sorrows, he was going to help them, and he was sending Moses to be the one he would use to lead them from this place of slavery and bondage and sorrow to a place of comfort and rest. We think of the Lord Jesus, of how it says of him in Isaiah 53 verse 3 that he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, that he knows our pain, he knows the things that we struggle with. He is very much acquainted with grief. We think of that in his own life. He had individuals, family, loved ones that died, that he was separated from. He wept over Jerusalem. He was a man that was a man of sorrows. And we see in verse 4, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. And that is what he wants to do, that when we're sorrowful, he wants to carry them. He wants to help us with them. That God, when we are brokenhearted, is willing to help and is willing to heal. Now we read this already this morning, but verse 3 of Psalm 147, it says, he healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. And that is what he wants to do. And that's what we see in the passage we began with this morning in Isaiah 61. That this is, of course, prophet Isaiah writing, but he's speaking on behalf of the Lord Jesus. And we see in Luke chapter 3, I believe it is, where, or chapter 4 rather, where Jesus actually says these words and says that he was fulfilling them. But we see this, and this is Christ's ministry that is laid out. And it says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. And so that's what Jesus came on this earth to do, to those that were brokenhearted, to heal them, to comfort them. Again, and that's what we see later on in that passage, of that he has come to comfort all that mourn, that when we have mourning, to replace it with beauty and joy and praise. And he wants to heal our broken heart, restore us to a place of happiness again, of joy once again. And he is a God that provides healing and provides comfort. Isaiah 66 verse 13 says, as one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you, and ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem. That we realize that both God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, a big part of their ministry to us is to comfort us. That we think of the Holy Spirit, that he is the comforter that has come. And we understand that we would not need a comforter if we never experience anything uncomfortable, if we never experience sorrow and sadness and heartache. But he knows that's coming because we're in this sin-cursed world, and so he is the one that gives us that comfort, that is willing and able to help us in these times of difficulty. And with all this, we realize God wants to turn things around and really wants to turn the attacks of Satan back on himself. Isaiah 51, verse 3, it says, For the Lord shall comfort Zion, he will comfort all her waste places, and he will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving in the voice of melody. That we see that when a person is heartbroken, it's almost like their heart is like a desert. It feels desolate, barren of joy and gladness and happiness. But God wants to change that and bring comfort again. We see as well with Lord Jesus speaking in John chapter 16 and verse 20. Where he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy." And that's what we can find in him, that when we are sorrowful, that he can bring us joy again into our lives, that he can heal our broken hearts so that we're not just sad all the time and sorrowful, but we can have his joy return to our hearts once again. And the thought with it is, just as we recognize it's God's ministry and the Lord's ministry and the Holy Spirit's ministry to us of comfort, that's a ministry He wants us to take up as well. We see in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, it says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort." And that's truly what we recognize, that He is the God of all comfort, that when our hearts are broken, we need to take them to Him to be fixed, to get that comfort, to get that healing that we need. And it says in verse 4, "Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." And it's something that we want to understand. God knows our sorrows. He hears our cries. He suffers with us. He brings us healing through that. But He has a plan and a way that He can heal our broken heart. And it comes as we give all the pieces of our broken heart to Him. As we surrender our sorrow, surrender our sadness, we say, "Lord, this has broken me. I don't feel like I can even go on, but I need your healing. I need you to help me to forgive those that have hurt me. I need you to help me to learn to love again, to be able to give, even though it may not always be received, but that I would still serve you and still honor you." And so as we seek Him, as we give our hearts to Him, in our brokenness, we find that He gives us hope. He gives us joy again. And really we realize Satan's plan when he inflicts pain upon us is to end our ministry, to end our service to God, end our usefulness to God, to basically have us pushed to the sidelines where we'll never be able to do anything for God ever again. But as we seek and as we find God's healing, we can find that pain that we experienced that led to our brokenness was not the end of our ministry, not the end of our service, not the end of our usefulness to God. Rather, it can be just the beginning. Because we can find that as we have received God's comfort and God's healing, then as we see from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, that enables us to then go and comfort others that have been hurt as well. That instead of carrying on in the chain of pain, that we instead form a new chain of comfort. As we have been comforted, we comfort someone else. And then they learn to comfort someone else. And instead of us all being broken by sin and by sorrow and by hurt, that instead we're strengthened to help one another. And we can continue on. That after we're healed, that we can stand and say to Satan, "Well, you hit me hard, you hurt me deeply, and you thought that you had me down and out. And for a while you did, but now that I've gone to God for healing, my heart is fixed again, and I'm standing once more, and I'm I'm not giving up. I'm actually stepping forward. I now have a heart full of compassion to heal others whom you have hurt. And that's what God wants to bring us to, His purpose in all of it, that to draw us close to Himself, to seek His healing, but then as we've received His healing, to then go and look out around us for others that are broken, and to share with them the healing that they can have through Christ. That we don't want Satan to win. We don't want him to keep us out of service and out of what God would have us to do. That we will be broken and hearted in some times, but we need to seek that healing. And as we do so, then the Lord can use us even more than He did before to be a help to others around us. Let's pray. Dear Father, we just thank you that you are near to us when we are brokenhearted, that you are able to heal us and bind up the wounds that we have in our soul and spirit. Lord, we realize the devil does much to inflict pain, much does he try to keep us from serving you, and Lord, we just pray that you would help us to overcome him, overcome the pain that we've experienced in the past, and just pray that as you heal us, Lord, that we would be enabled to help others find your healing and your comfort as well. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's stand and we'll turn to one last hymn.